The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Human trafficking is on the rise in Ireland and right across Europe. Ruhama is an Irish NGO that works with women affected by prostitution and other forms of commercial sexual exploitation. They're going to launch their annual report tomorrow, but ahead of that, I'm joined in studio by CEO of Ruhama, Barbara Condon. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, the numbers being trafficked for sexual exploitation, those numbers are increasing. But how do we know? I mean, do we have to depend on police forces apprehending the exploiters?
It's quite complex in terms of the data, Pat, because it's very human trafficking is extremely hidden and it's hidden in plain sight. So the numbers and the statistics we have in Ireland and globally, you know, we're very unsure about them in many ways. But what we do know is that, like last year, we would have seen a 29% increase in new victims of human trafficking. And year on year, we're seeing increases, you know,
These are people who have come forward or been found. The number, in other words, of reported trafficking victims. But there, as you say, there may be many more.
The complication comes in is because in Ireland, to be identified as a victim, you have to report it on Garda Síochána. And for many victims, they come from countries where the guards are corrupt in their country, yeah. So they won't report. So we're currently going under the reform of the National Referral Mechanism, which will be able to allow more victims to come forward and identify. So, for example, we would have seen 155 victims of human trafficking last year, but the state records would say that there was only 55.
Okay.
You know, so there's a discrepancy there. And then that's not including all the women who've been forced into prostitution, where there's third-party coercion as well. So we would have engaged with over 646 individuals last year. Again, an increase of 30% on the previous year.
Are we talking mostly about people who've been trafficked here in those 646 last year, or are there Irish people who've been coerced into sexual exploitation by people?
So we would have seen women from 51 different nationalities across the globe. But obviously as well, that includes Irish women as well. So Irish women are trafficked and Irish women are forced into prostitution. But 90% of who we see is migrant women.
Yeah, just to concentrate on the Irish women for a moment. When you say Irish women are trafficked, trafficking normally means bringing from place A to place B. So how does that happen to Irish women?
So it could be across the border. Or some women have lived outside the jurisdiction, but they're Irish and then they're trafficked back into Ireland.
Okay. Now, the 51 nationalities, is there a concentration from any part of the globe?
The highest concentration would be from Nigeria, followed by Zimbabwe and then Brazil.
Okay. So Africa and Brazil, the principal areas. Do we know how they come in? I mean, to what extent are they coming in with some sort of papers which are then taken from them by the traffickers, believing, for example, they might be coming in for quite a legitimate job?
Yeah, traffickers prey generally on the most vulnerable and they prey on people's hardship. And what they do is they strip people of their human rights and their dignity. Victims of sex trafficking basically lose any form of humanity. But when they're trafficked into the country, they're usually groomed for quite some time, usually befriended by somebody they know. Sometimes it can be the lover boy method where it's a boyfriend, yeah. A partner. And so when they're brought over into the country from, and sometimes they're travelled through many jurisdictions before they get to Ireland as well. So they might have started in Nigeria, but would have gone through a few different countries before they actually
end up. And of course, once they get into the Schengen area, however they enter it, they can move through many countries without ever being asked to show papers.
Yes. And, you know, this is some of the difficulty. And often when they come through Ireland, and this is why it's difficult to detect as well, they're really happy when they arrive in the airport because they think they're about to start a new life,
yeah.
And they're very excited. And once they get through then customs, then their documentation is taken off them. And then that's when the real nightmare begins, because they might have no English, they've no documentation, and they know nobody in this country.
And yet, I mean, if you come into this country, even with documentation from many parts of the world, unless you have a visa, you don't get past immigration.
Yes.
So what's happening with the Gardaí and the immigration services that they don't detect more people, particularly someone arriving in Ireland without an employer sponsor and without a command of English. I mean, it should be a signal, first of all, this is not right. This is not kosher.
I think it's just, we're back to a resource issue because we don't have enough resources. I mean, the guards have definitely stepped up and there's definitely more immigration. And when you come through, I only came through the airport myself last week and the first person I met was immigration officers checking. And that's the first time that's ever happened.
Yeah, this is a renewed effort from earlier in the summer, yeah. It has to be said. So let's presume they get through this particular obstacle and their trafficker is waiting for them. Do the traffickers tend to travel with them, or is there someone waiting at an airport or a ferry port to greet them?
It can be a mixture. So sometimes the trafficker is there, or sometimes it's a friend of the trafficker. And they generally bring them, like, to give you an example of one girl, you know, she was brought to a house. She was made feel very welcome and she was told she would be starting her new job the next day. Which she thought was going to be in a cafe, and then she was given like a very kind of skimpy type clothing, and she thought, why would I be wearing that to go work in a coffee shop? And then another girl in the house told her, you know, don't be so silly, you're not going to work in any coffee shop, to which she was horrified, and then she was brought to a house where she was forced to have sex with many men.
Okay, now when you say brought to a house, are these places identifiable easily? I mean, the Gardaí not have a fair idea what's going on in number 7.
Well, this is often kind of called the perfect crime because it's so hidden and it's really, really difficult. So the traffickers, what they do is they tour women around the country and they move location frequently. So we've often...
So they might borrow someone's and pay for someone's Airbnb to run a temporary brothel.
Yeah, we've pop-up brothels all over the country. We have hubs, regional hubs around the country. We have had staff seeing men queuing outside for these pop-up brothels. It's becoming more and more of a trend, unfortunately.
Now, the question of that, you know, someone observes a queue of fellas outside a house or outside an apartment or whatever in the hall. Is there not a likelihood that they will be reported? Or are people just not thinking properly and saying, what could this be?
Well, in that particular instance, there was a surveillance and the guards did intervene there. But often people are afraid to intervene. And I'd urge your listeners, if you think something isn't right, it probably isn't. And it's really important to report to the Gardaí because you won't do any harm, but you could save somebody's life. Yeah. So,
and you really have to catch them in the act, because if it's a pop-up, they'll be gone to the next town, you know, in a day or two.
Yeah, when we're working with women, like we might see them in Dublin today, you'd ring them and tomorrow they're in Belfast. They could be in Limerick. They could be in any city. This isn't a Dublin phenomenon. It happens in every town, city and village across the country.
Now, what is it telling us about Irish men?
Well, misogyny is alive and well. It's incredible. And I just to give you a really good example of this, there's escort websites that advertise women who sell sex. And in that, there's a drop-down menu of all the different sexual services that you can avail of. But also there's a section where you can review your encounter with the woman and you can mark her out of 5 for looks, for performance, etc. But the comments that is left on that are absolutely disgusting. And you know, that's where you really see how misogynist society we've become. And like sometimes when I'm reading them, because I'd be preparing for research for presentations, and I read those comments and I physically feel sick, but I'm only reading them, Pat. Imagine what the women who actually have to experience these men are enduring. It's so degrading.
And presumably,
and
this is a feedback to the pimp or the exploiter. He's saying, hang on, last night you did not do the business properly for this client or that client.
Well,
so they may suffer consequences.
Yeah. So if they get a bad review, they're subject to violence. This is a huge profit-making business. There's huge profits can be made when you sell a human being over and over and over again. And if they're not making the profits and bad reviews come up, the likelihood is that woman is going to suffer violence, either at the hands of the punter because she didn't comply with what he wanted. Because remember, a lot of these women are advertised and they don't know they're being advertised. So they don't agree to the sexual acts that was negotiated over the phone. So they could be at risk from the punter of violence. but also of the trafficker or pimp because of the loss of profit. Now,
obviously, you're able to do the research and see all of this. You'd imagine that the Gardaí should be doing exactly the same and nailing these guys.
We work very closely with An Garda Síochána. We do joint initiatives around welfare checks. We also do joint training where we train as many guards as possible, and we do a lot of three-way casework meetings. The issue for the guards is a resource issue, like it is for most services. So the guards we work with, the OPIU, the Organised Prostitution Investigation Unit, and the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit, they do fantastic work. They specialise in this area. The issue is there isn't enough of them, and especially when you go outside Dublin. Now, they work across the country, but the resources are really, really scarce. And also the laws aren't there, Pat. There's a current review of the legislation of the Sexual Offences Act, and it doesn't give guards enough power to arrest and convict. So that's currently under review.
It is against the law to pay for sex, isn't it?
Yes, it's illegal since 2017. And that law is currently under review because it doesn't give the guards enough power to be able to pursue convictions. Yeah.
Now, obviously, Gardaí can go undercover, but then when it comes to the moment of purchasing a service, they have to make their excuses and leave. Or it would not be ethical for a Garda to get involved in the actual acts. And that in itself must present difficulties in terms of getting, if you like, behind the scenes.
Well, there's two ways, I suppose, the guards go about it. One is they do days of action. So it's where there's been surveillance on brothels. And a lot of that intelligence, again, comes from the public. Public ring up and say, we're noticing something suspicious. Or, they have their own data and their own intelligence that they gather. And they go in and they just raid the brothels. And in those instances, then they would refer women that they find who are trafficked. They would refer them on to us. And then the second way is they go in and do welfare checks. And that's where we accompany them on welfare checks. And that's just, again, if they,
may be an opportunity for someone to make a complaint. If there's a welfare check where, they see there are third parties coming in who are not the pimp, not the exploiter, and they may take the opportunity to say something or may not.
Yeah, and like as a result of doing that initiative, we have had a slight increase in referrals, but you mightn't hear from them today or tomorrow. It could be 6 months down the road. So it's really important intervention to do.
Now, are these women literally captive in houses that they can't go out and, go to the cinema or recreate in any way?
It used to be like that, but it has changed. Traffickers have become more clever. And again, they don't want to be detected. So for some women, they have very little freedom. But for others, they can go out and they're allowed to deposit some money back home to the country. But it'd be a minute amount. But it's enough to make their family back home think all is well. But they'd be very much surveilled while they're doing that. So they can go to the bank, but there's somebody at the corner waiting,
Now, we talked about the profile. 51 different nationalities, primarily from Zimbabwe and
Nigeria
and Brazil. What about the profile of the punter? What sort of Irish punter? Are we talking about all walks of life?
The majority of punters are middle class, they're middle aged, and they're generally in relationships. We've often had women come in where they were tell us they were picked up in cars and the baby seat is in the back of the car. And, it might be surprising to hear, but the busiest hour of the day for the sex trade is lunch hour. And then that's followed by the 5 to 7 rush as people head home before they head home to their families.
And tell them the traffic was terrible. That's why I'm so late.
Yeah, I was working very hard. Yeah.
And then the profile of the exploiter, who do they tend to be, these people?
The exploiters, it comes in all guises. Sometimes it can be a drug using partner who will, there's a big problem with addiction and sexual exploitation as well. So to feed somebody's habit, they will coerce their partner into the sex trade. Often it's foreign criminal gangs. Like the sex trade is predominantly organised by organised crime. It's the second biggest organised crime after drug trafficking. Globally, it's worth $236 billion. Ooh. So it's huge profits to be made from this.
Now, two final questions. One is about, this is highly gendered, in other words, mostly women, but there are presumably teenage boys who are trafficked as well.
Yeah, it's highly gendered. Like 69% of trafficking across Europe is for sexual exploitation, of which 95% is females. But we do see some men, not very many, but we do see some men coming into Rahama. The difficulty with child trafficking is, again, it's very difficult to identify, and the current legislation is under reform. So there's a huge advocacy to identify more victims of child trafficking.
Okay, now for our listeners, you'd like their help, obviously, to isolate more and more of these activities when they pop up all around the country. So what should they do?
I suppose the biggest sign or indicator of trafficking is where there's people constantly coming and going. So you've constantly new neighbours, whether it's in the apartment next door or the house down the road. Again, I would urge people to, if you're suspicious about anything, call the Gardaí and report it.
And finally, is there any intersection at all between the trafficking of people who end up working in nail bars, for instance, or in domestic servitude? Any intersection between that and the sexual exploitation?
We only specifically deal with sexual exploitation, but we are very aware that there's a high level of labour exploitation, and it tends to be more males who are exploited through the labour market.
All right. Well, it's fascinating. We'll be doing more on this throughout the week. Barbara Condon, who's the CEO of Ruhama, thank you very much for joining us in studio. And if you've been affected by anything raised in this discussion, you can contact Ruhama on their helpline, which is 1-800-020202. The Dublin Rape Crisis Centre on 1-800-77-8888, or the Samaritans on 116-123.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.